There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman. We'll talk Indiana's 34-28 win over the Maryland Terrapins. And as the Hoosiers get their fifth win of the year, one win away from bowl eligibility with five to play. There was good, there was bad, there was some ugly in the win over Maryland, and we'll get TJ in here to help me talk about that soon. But first, a word from our friends at MyBookie. I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting my own money on it. Well, when I'm putting money on it. Sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm just betting on my team because they're my team. Regardless whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet this season. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to MyBookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code CHAIR, that's C-H-A-I-R, to activate the offer. That's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, now we bring in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you doing on this really stormy day out in Indianapolis?
The weather definitely not very nice, but it feels much better being at 5-2. Certainly easy to deal with weather like this after Indiana's win on Saturday, which, you know, we talked, it feels like all off season. We pointed to that game against Maryland, and then we, you know, pointed to it again heading into the Maryland game as kind of a pivotal one to either, you know, you win that type of game and show that, look, this is a different type of season than what we're used to, or, you know, you drop it and you're 4-3 and, you know, bowl game still certainly possible, but the math gets a little harder. And Indiana, while they did not play perfect by any means, a lot of mistakes, a lot of points left on the board, a lot of, I would say, some iffy play calling. But Indiana was able to make a play. Two plays, really, on defense as Burgess made the big play that IU was unable to really capitalize on. And then a huge play from Reese Taylor at the end of the game as Pigram overthrows his receiver. And Reese Taylor was in the right place at the right time and was able to catch the ball for to seal the win and move Indiana to 5-2. Really, for me, while – there were certainly some things that IU has got to work on and clean up. And then the injury to Michael Penix was a negative for sure. I couldn't have any other feeling but just elation that we finally won a game like that.
Yeah, it was, you know, on social media and text messages, everybody's, hey, we've seen this movie before. And you kind of just want to bash them over a head with the 2x4 saying, hey, you know, it's a different day, and the outcome was different. You know, a lot of things that usually go against Indiana in games like that went for them. I thought the biggest play of the game that nobody's talking about is Khalil Bryant's fumble recovery on the kickoff inside, I think it was inside the 5-yard line. You know, David Ellis gets blown up. Guy puts his helmet right on his, like, the top of his hand or his wrist area. And, you know, it's just, that's how human reactions, your hand kind of just releases the ball. and that ball went shooting out, and Khalil Bryant won a foot race against a Maryland special teams player, dove on the ball. If Maryland gets the ball there, they're going to score a touchdown, and it's a different story. So, you know, that play in particular, that how many times have we seen the opponent, you know, jump on that fumble? Then the play at the end of the first half where Peyton Ramsey hits Nick Westbrook for a touchdown to retake the lead, 24-21 going into halftime. A spectacular catch by Nick Westbrook. You know, and we'll talk about Peyton Ramsey's performance, TJ, because I thought he was, you know, I've had my reservations about his arm strength, and I still do, but man, oh man, when the chips are on the table, he's the guy you want on your team. He came through big time, and that was a heck of a throw and a heck of a catch by Nick Westbrook in the corner of the end zone there. And then, you know, time and time again, that Juwan Burgess strips the ball, recovers a fumble. We've seen those balls bounce out of bounds before a defender can jump on them. Even the Reese Taylor interception, how many times have we seen the defender drop that pick? A couple plays later, the opponent goes in for the end zone. So Indiana flipped the script, and that's the important thing to take away. Yes, they had 11 penalties for 110 yards. Some of those pass interference calls were a little bogus. Some of them are just stupid penalties. Some of them, you got to be smarter. The passes had no chance of getting to the receiver, but when you run over the receiver, even if there's no chance, the referee's going to throw the flag. So they got to clean that up. And, you know, what fans don't seem to understand is that the coaches know this. They bash Allen and Kalen DeBoer and Kane Womack. They know what the problem is. They have to go fix it. They can't be on the field with the players saying, hey man, don't hit the guy when the ball's 10 feet over his head. So, you know, they know what they need to work on. I don't think this team is satisfied at 5 wins, and that's one of my concerns about the celebration after the game. Was like a big weight was lifted off their shoulder, and, you know, you could celebrate the win. That was a really, really good road win, but you got to refocus and go to the next game, which is Nebraska, and we'll get into Nebraska a little bit. So, you got to enjoy it for 24 hours and flush it. It sounds like they have done that. Talking to players today, talking to Ramsey and Westbrook and Marcelino, it's, you know, six wasn't the goal. The goal of the season was to win as many games as you can, and they have 5 games left. So the goal is to win 5 more games, according to them. And we'll see where it goes from there. But, you know, that was a game that Indiana usually loses on the road. We've seen them lose that game at Maryland before. And Maryland's, you know, Pigram is not a great thrower quarterback, but Javon Leak is a heck of a running back. That Demas at receiver is a really good receiver. Antoine Brooks, who had the pick in the end zone, is a really good defensive player. They have some players at Maryland. I believe they recruited pretty well, or at least evenly with Indiana over the last couple of years. So it's not like this team was Rutgers a couple of weeks ago. This team, they blew out Syracuse 63-20. They were ranked in the top 25 at one point this season, and Tom Allen shouldn't have to apologize for winning this game. And that's what fans need to realize. It's a long but short season. It's a long, quick season in terms of something could happen on the drop of a dime, and it changes the whole thing. But you play 12 games. And right now, Indiana's at 5-2 for the first time since 2007, and people need to enjoy it. But, yeah, this team didn't play a perfect game at Maryland. Not scoring a touchdown after that fumble leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But a lot of that had to do with, you know, they really couldn't trust Peyton Ramsey to throw the ball in the red zone after that earlier in the game when he missed Matt Bjorson in the corner of the end zone. They just didn't for whatever reason, he hesitates and just floated that ball in there. And I think that causes, you know, coaches to double think what their play calls are. And but, you know, credit Ramsey. He did a heck of a job coming in relief of Michael Penix. There was no update today on Michael Penix other than that he'll be a game time decision. And it's all that's what coaches do. They play close to the vest. So to put out a bow on it, TJ, it was a really good win. IU is 5-2 for the first time since 2007. Are there things to clean up? Yes. That's what practice is for. So let's move on to Nebraska. TJ, what are your initial thoughts on Nebraska?
I do want to point out, I want to kind of agree with you on a couple of things. I have been, I don't think, hard on Peyton Ramsey or a, you know, vocal critic or anything like that, but I have made no bones about my feelings that the ceiling is so much higher for any of Michael Penix. My opinion on that has not changed. However, I do want to point out and agree with you that we saw improvements and progress from Peyton Ramsey on Saturday. I do not know if the Peyton Ramsey, the decision maker from previous seasons, would have been able to lead Indiana the way that he did on Saturday. I thought he made really good decisions on when to run the ball and for how to run the ball. He ran with a lot of toughness and got some really tough yards that IU really had to have. It provided a major spark on a couple of lengthy conversions with his legs. And then it, for the most part, yeah, you mentioned the throw to Bjornsson in the end zone. That was egregious, and it was a prime example of a play that just limits how good of a quarterback he's capable of being, in my opinion. But I thought he made much better decisions with the ball than he has in the past. Rarely put it into a position where Maryland's defenders could have made a play on it. Yep. I do think that if Penix plays that whole game, I think Indiana easily goes over 40 points and probably has over 600 yards because it was clear from when Penix was out there, Maryland's secondary, which we talked about this as a point going in, Maryland's secondary really could not for Indiana's receivers. They overplayed against Walt Fillier and really did a nice job of kind of taking him out of things. But the Hoosiers were getting whatever they wanted down the seam or to the outside with Westbrook, who had himself a very nice game. It was really good to see that. Freifogel had a nice game as well, had a few good catches. Peyton Hendershot was a key part of the offense again. So I don't think
outside of that one pass that goes off his hands that he probably should have caught.
True.
That to me, that changed the game. That interception in the end zone off the tip ball. It was a 14-point swing. If Indiana scores there, they probably win going away, and people will find something else to complain about, but it won't be a six-point win at Maryland.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's very true. But I Penix will give, you know, we'll pass an update on the site when we have one. I don't really know what to think about this upcoming Nebraska game because both starting quarterback status is very much up in the air. Adrian Martinez, yep. Nebraska's quarterback, who I think it's fair to say has had a bit of a letdown season. He has not been bad, but I do not think that he has taken the step forward that many, including myself, had expected. Some of that has to do with the pieces surrounding him, and some of it has to do with an injury, and some of it I think just has to do with he just hasn't progressed as you would expect. And that's not to say that he's not capable of having a huge game if he does play. Now, you've got him coming in as questionable. Nebraska did have a bye week last week, so that even more adds to the intrigue of what they're going to look like in this one. Then you've got Penix, I think, at questionable right now if you were putting an injury designation on it, but we really have no idea whatsoever. Tom Allen does not expect it to be long-term, is what he said after Saturday's game, but I don't think we really have any idea, so we're not going to speculate on it. I think you would put the likelihood very much at 50-50, and then you say, well, if not, then we got Peyton Ramsey, and here we go. Nebraska does not have that luxury. They would be turning to Noah Vedral, who went with Scott Frost from Central Florida. He was a Central Florida commit that went with Frost to Nebraska. We've only seen, you know, limited game action from him. I think he has something like 20 pass attempts or something like that. Not much of a sample size, so I don't have an opinion on him really, other than he's not Adrian Martinez. He's not going to hurt Indiana with his legs the way Martinez can, and he will not extend plays the way that Martinez can. So that's a huge factor. Nebraska limited offensive weapons, which is surprising. I think much more was expected from their skill group than what we've seen this year. Wandale Robinson, I think, is their most dangerous player, true freshman that we highlighted in our preseason podcast as a guy that would be one to watch. And really, when he's got the ball, that's been the case. He has not been utilized quite as much, particularly early. He wasn't utilized quite as much, but they really have turned to him here recently. It's interesting to see whether or not he's 100% as well, though.
Yeah, and they'll be without Spielman. Starting running back Maurice Washington, too.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, J.D. Spielman is their veteran receiver. Outside of those two, not really a ton of options. Jack Stoll is a big target at tight end. He's very big. I don't think he's all that good. I definitely prefer Peyton Hendershot to Stoll, but he is a weapon, particularly in the red zone for Nebraska. The offensive line for them has struggled some, particularly in pass protection. Maurice Washington, as you mentioned, not going to play, so they turn to Dedrick Mills. That's kind of been the case most of the season, is that it's been one of the two of them. They've rarely had both of them rolling at the same time, so they'll turn to Mills. And him and Washington, very similar players, but Mills is going to be the guy, so Indiana's going to have to deal with him. And I think that they will look to get the ball to Wandale Robinson any way that they can. Defensively, it's a defense that I think can be had. It's better than it was a season ago, at least to my eye it is. But it's still not a really good unit. Indiana will have seen much better so far this season. I think that they are a comparable defense to Maryland. I would put Nebraska ahead of the Terps, but not by a whole lot. And again, I think this is a unit that you can pass on. Questionable secondary. They don't get a ton of pass rush. They do have a couple of stout defensive tackles that make it somewhat difficult to run up the middle. Linebacker Mo Berry is their top tackler, and he's really the leader of the linebackers. But not a ton of difference makers on this defense. Not a whole lot of guys you have to scheme around. I do think that Indiana, if Michael Penix plays, I think they can have a huge day through the air again. The biggest, perhaps most interesting thing to me is how Indiana responds to the atmosphere. Nebraska, excuse me, while Indiana has been at difficult venues for sure, this is a very young team for Indiana still. And Nebraska, their Memorial Stadium is it's just a really intimidating, can be intimidating place to play just because it's very big, very passionate fan base, and you know they're going to be hungry for a win. This is a game that I'm sure they expect to win, and it's one that they really need. The loss here would really throw up some red flags nationally surrounding Scott Frost's tenure.
Yeah, and to go into that a little bit more about concerns, Nebraska kickers are 4-for-10 on field goals. They've used three different kickers on field goals.
Yeah.
None of them have made more than two. Dylan Jorgensen is 0-for-1. Isaac Armstrong is 2-for-5. Lane McCollum is 2-for-4, and none of them have kicked a field goal over 40 yards. The longest on the year is 36. And they've had
the Northwestern game was a disaster. I mean, just a disaster, field goal kicking
wise. They've
had
two kicks blocked.
Really.
Yeah, they've had two kicks blocked. It's, you know, if this game comes down to a late field goal, much like Maryland, who only attempted two field goals in the year, Indiana has the advantage. Logan Justice has been, and I'll knock on wood, he's been automatic. He's
yep.
one of six kickers in the nation to be perfect on both field goals and extra points. And, you know, you don't even worry about it anymore. When doing stats on radio, you kind of just assume that he's going to make it. And when writing the scorecard. So it's that's going to play a big factor. And Indiana's played pretty well on special teams. There's one or two things that they need to clean up every game. But, you know, Nebraska is a bigger mess than I thought coming into the year. And when we did our Know Our Opponent, our writer Nate Kopp came up, found an article that said, there's a quote from Scott Frost in there that says, you know, he's questioning the team's leadership. He's, you know, maybe playing for the future and redshirting guys. So, you know, here's the quote on his weekly radio show. Frost said, it's hard to be a leader if guys don't want to follow. The majority of the team does, but maybe not everybody. And the leaders need to continue to improve. But we need good teammates, not just good leaders. So, to me, you said this program, TJ, could be at a tipping point. There's a lot of national perception about Nebraska being a football blue blood, and here comes Indiana, whose national perception, Jerry Palm of CBS still doesn't have Indiana in his bowl projections at 5-2, who's still perceived as this is, you know, Indiana. So Indiana going into Nebraska, if Indiana gets a lead, things could turn for the worse. You know, we've seen it in college basketball being with IU being the kind of program they are. When somebody comes in and kind of kicks them in the teeth, your fan base gets restless. The same thing could go for Nebraska. So it's going to be pretty vital for IU to come out, take the lead, not get rattled by all the pizzazz at Nebraska and all their traditions with the tunnel walk and whatever they do. I'm excited to see it, but players need to tune that out and get ready and go, because this is a gettable game on the road and a chance to, while it's not the Nebraska, it's not your father's Nebraska, it's still a brand name across the country.
It certainly is, yeah. I mean, I remember watching Nebraska in the Big 12 and always kind of thinking how cool of an atmosphere that was, and, you know, certainly remember not the actual games themselves, but the highlight tapes and the lore surrounding Dr. Tom Osborne's teams and Tommy Frazier and those teams. I remember that stuff, and I'm sure Nebraska fans certainly remember them fondly. And I remember when Nebraska came into the Big Ten thinking, man, it'd be really cool to go in there with a pretty good team and actually, you know, have a chance to be competitive against the Huskers. And Indiana enters at 5-2, while Nebraska's 4-3. And Indiana enters as the favorite in Vegas, which is truly, I'm sure, to most, completely shocking. If you would have bet on this game on a futures bet, like before the season, I don't know what the line would have been. Probably Nebraska by 14, something like that. They would have been heavy favorites, but given the evidence on the field, it makes sense. I mean, you look back at Nebraska's games, the only performance that I think you would consider really good was that they waxed Northern Illinois, who is having one of the worst seasons that they've had in a very long time. I think they're 2-5 right now. So maybe that, while it looked at the time like, hey, Nebraska's figuring it out, it was still early in the season. Maybe they're, you know, they were just asleep for a little bit, or took them a while to integrate some new guys. But turns out Northern Illinois is just bad. So maybe that didn't mean anything. And then since then, you know, they squeaked by Northwestern in an extremely ugly game that they were very fortunate to win. They were walloped by Ohio State, which that's fine. I don't take anything out of that.
Everybody has been.
Yeah. But I think that the really, truly alarming one was that they were just completely non-competitive against Minnesota before their bye week. I mean, Minnesota did whatever they wanted to and got ahead of, I think it was 35-0 at one point. Minnesota,
I think the final was 41-7.
Yeah, Minnesota is much better than what I thought they were going to be, but I don't think there's any way they should be that much better and that dominant over Nebraska right now at this point in time. So that's kind of an eye-opener, and I'm going to be very interested to see how Nebraska responds to the position that they're in, and then how Indiana responds to the position that they are in, because really it's quite foreign for the Hoosiers to be in this spot in a good way. It's good to have to deal with success, and IU has to have the maturity to be able to do that. And you mentioned that earlier in the podcast, and it's going to be a key thing. And how Indiana starts this game is going to say a lot. And then I'm very interested to see just how maybe the defense can get some momentum from those two takeaways, because we've waited all season for those to kind of start flowing. Maybe that sort of breaks the dam there, if you will, and starts a little bit of a flow of forcing takeaways. Because if that starts to happen, Indiana becomes a very dangerous proposition.
Yeah, and you know, the defense, they did not have a great first half. And doing the box score for my game rapid reaction for last week's game, Indiana had 17 explosive plays. I think Maryland only had like seven. It was a big differential. And it was because Maryland's explosive plays either went for a touchdown or went to the one-yard line, and they went. They had five explosive plays. So what I categorize as explosive plays are runs over 10 yards and passes over 15. Indiana had 17. Maryland had five. One of those is a 60-yard run. One of them was a 52-yard pass that led to a touchdown. So, yeah, the defense gave up those plays. That first touchdown, the defense gifted them with, I think, 40 yards of penalties on that first drive, which is kind of ridiculous. But the defense in the second half, they gave up – all they gave up was one touchdown. And that came on a play. They had them 3rd and 17. I believe there was a pick play that took Tywin Mullen out of coverage on the tight end or the receiver who caught the ball, which it shouldn't happen, but it's a reason why it happened. And then there was a blown coverage where two guys covered the wrong, they were all on different pages, but it's a 52-yard pass to Mabry, who goes down the sideline to the one-yard line, and then they score from there. So it's fixable issues. It's not like Indiana's getting totally out-talented. And I would – if Adrian Martinez doesn't play, I don't see how Nebraska's offense is better than Maryland's. Now, Wandale Robinson is a heck of a talent. But you can't – we've seen it with – when Indiana's had Shane Wynn, you've seen it with Watt Fillier, even last year, where one guy can't do it all. So, and even going back to Kofi Hughes and Tandon Doss, one guy can't do it all. So it's really going to be really hard to give a game prediction today just because there are so many unknowns on each side. And, we could do it is, if this guy plays and that guy plays and all that stuff. But let's get on to keys to victory, TJ. What are two keys
that Indiana needs to get done in order for them to win the ball game?
Well, like you said, it's almost impossible for us to give rational or coherent game predictions when we do not know the personnel, and the personnel we're in, you know, that are in question are incredibly important. So it's very difficult. It also makes it difficult to do keys to the game, because my key for Adrian Martinez would be quite a bit different than it is otherwise. But my keys to the game for Indiana is going to be start well. I think that IU getting off to a good start is going to be vital. Number one, because of the atmosphere. Number two, because of the place that both teams are in right now. And then my second key for Indiana is going to be to continue to force those takeaways, because I think they're huge, not just in terms of momentum, but I think in today's college football, where so many offenses are capable of putting up points, any forced turnovers are really not just taking away a drive. They are taking points off the board for the opponent in a lot of cases. And in Indiana's case, Juwan Burtis's takeaway, I mean, that should have put points on the board for the Hoosiers. It did not. But you'd like to think if you get the ball to 15, you're going to get a touchdown. Now, IU did get a field goal out of it, so there's that. But, you know, I think that continuing to force those takeaways that we saw in those last two drives, I think that would be a raise to what Indiana is capable of this season that much higher if it turns into a consistent thing. So I'll be watching for that as well. And then regardless of who's at quarterback, I want to see the receivers continue to have the kind of day that they did, making competitive catches like what we saw Nick Westbrook finally able to make, and what we saw a couple of other players as well. To me, that can be a major difference maker. If you have confidence in your receivers making those 50-50 catches, it just opens up your offense and allows Kalen DeBoer to be that much more aggressive. So those are kind of the three things I'm going to be watching for. But again, a lot is going to hinge on whether or not Michael Penix can go. And more importantly, because of the backup situation, more importantly, can Adrian Martinez go, and is he close to 100%? If not, I will go ahead and say that if Martinez does not play, I do expect Indiana to go to Nebraska and win. If Martinez doesn't play, I think the Hoosiers are the better team, and I think that Indiana should be the better team on Saturday if Martinez is not out there. If he is and he's healthy, I don't know. It complicates things quite a bit in my head.
So if both quarterbacks are out, you give Indiana the edge because of Peyton Ramsey.
I do. Yep.
All right. I agree. I believe Adrian Martinez's injury was a high ankle sprain. Usually that takes 4 to 6 weeks. It was Josh Jackson from Maryland is dealing with the same thing. He didn't play last week either. So we'll see. But my keys to the game for Indiana is, as you said, the receivers need to come through. It's you got to cash in on your opportunities, especially at a place like Nebraska with 90-plus thousand fans who are going to be screaming down your throat if you cough up opportunities. That means when you recover fumble on the 16-yard line, you got to score a touchdown. When you have a chance in the red zone to score a touchdown, you can't throw an interception in the end zone and have 14-point swings. You got to hold on to the ball on kickoffs, things like that. You got to be able to take down the quarterback. And even if Martinez plays, if he's limited to running the ball, it changes the game and things like that. And I thought Indiana's defensive line did a pretty decent job against Tyrell Pigram, who looked like a magician sometimes out there, where, you know, defensive linemen looked like, you know, they were a split second away from wrapping him up, and all of a sudden he's 2 yards in the other direction. You know, the defensive line has played pretty well. linebackers got to get it together a little bit. And then your secondary, your young guys, you got to play these young guys on defense because they're the ones that have been playing well. It's been Raheem Lane, Andre Brown. Those guys have been the guys getting burnt on D. It's not Jalen Williams. It's not Tywan Mullen.
Tywan Mullen.
And yeah, maybe these and maybe it's hard to ask these guys to play 80 plays a game, but you got to get those guys on the field as much as possible. I thought Marcelino Ball played well against Maryland, and he's re-entered, you know, the defense from a playmaking standpoint, but got to take advantage of opportunities. And there are only going to be so many opportunities to score on the road, shut the crowd up, and give yourself some confidence. The next one, if Hunter Littlejohn comes back, this offensive line deserves a lot of credit. They're without Coy Kronk. They were without Kronk and Hunter Littlejohn last week. You had Kreider move over to center. Nora came in and played pretty well. And they gave up, I think, one sack for 0 yards last week, which is a weird stat. But one sack, they played pretty well, and they're going to have to continue to play well. So Indiana's got to play like a 5-2 team. They've got to come in, be aggressive, take advantage of the opportunities that are going to be presented to them, whatever they may be. But they got to play with the confidence of a 5-2 team. Then you could if you take care of business this week, and I hate talking ahead, but the Northwestern game, for those of you who haven't been on Twitter today, the Northwestern game time was announced. It's a 7 o'clock game. It's on Fox Sports 1. It's under the lights at Memorial Stadium. If Indiana could win this game, that could be a special night in Bloomington. Either way, at worst case scenario, if Indiana loses in Nebraska, they're coming in 5-3 with the chance to beat on a new Northwestern team who hasn't looked all that good to get bowl eligible. But if you could get to that Northwestern game at 6-2, you're already receiving votes in the college, in the coaches poll. Maybe if you look impressive enough, people's heads will turn and just maybe you get enough to sneak into the top 25. But for Indiana, it's taking advantage of the opportunities. And, yeah, keys are hard to give when you don't have, you know, is Penix going to start? Is Ramsey going to play? Is Adrian Martinez going to play? But it's control what you can control. So the game plan, Peyton Ramsey, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to prepare like a starter. And if both starters are out, Martinez and Penix, edge goes to Indiana. And if Martinez plays and Penix doesn't, but Martinez is 50% or 60% and can't move around, that might go Indiana's way as well. And, I haven't read the article that Nate is sending us, but if Scott Frost is planning for next season, you've got to think that they're not going to put Adrian Martinez at risk to get hurt further with ankle injuries. You've seen it in other sports before where the ankle injuries nag and then end up being worse. My big example there as a Yankee fan was Jeter in 2012. He had an ankle injury all year, and then in the playoffs he took one wrong step and it snapped. And you hate to see it to anybody. So if Nebraska really is playing for 2020, and I don't think that they should. I don't think in college football you can say, hey, we're playing for 2020. They might say, hey, if you're not 100%, we're not throwing you out there. And they'll take their licks and see with that. Because just like Michigan, Scott Frost is supposed to be the guy at Nebraska. But where do you go from here? If Scott Frost is on the hot seat in year three, where do you go from there? So we'll see. It'll be an interesting game. TJ, predictions.
Well, I happen to think Martinez is going to play, and I'm just going to go out on a limb and predict that Michael Penix does not. That being said, I do not think that Adrian Martinez is going to be 100%. I do not think he's going to have his usual mobility, and I think that there could be a little bit of rust there because he has not it would be just about a month since he played a full game. So I have a lot of confidence in this Indiana team, thanks to seeing them actually make those plays at the end of games. It's been talked about for so long, and Indiana has trained for it specifically to get into the situation that they did against Maryland, and like you said, flip the script. And that's something they did. It kind of just feels like the type of season where maybe things actually fall into place for the Hoosiers. And it's been a very long time since Indiana has been in a position to make these kind of things happen. I will predict Indiana to go to Nebraska and win that game. If Martinez is healthy, then I'll probably end up being wrong, but it's fine. Nobody's keeping track anyway. I'm going to go with the Hoosiers winning it, and I will say, 34-28, Indiana wins another close game.
All right. And going back to the Maryland game a little bit, keeping track of ESPN's FPI, the Football Power Index, a month ago or 3 weeks ago, Indiana was still only had like a 25% chance of winning that game. And then as time went on, it got to where Indiana was, I think, ended up being like a 60% chance of winning. So all these people poo-pooing this win and poo-pooing Maryland, well, when Maryland was running up 79 and 63 points, Indiana had a 20% chance of winning that game. So it speaks how quickly things could change. FPI, I think, gives Indiana a 52% chance. So it's a toss-up game here. It's going to depend on who starts at quarterback for each team. I just don't know. I have a feeling Penix might play, but I don't know. It's just a gut feeling. I could be safe and say neither starter will play and all that, but I think Indiana has, at this time, more talent at the skill positions. It seems like they're a more stable program, believe it or not. And defensively, Nebraska has gotten a lot of TFLs, and that's going to define the game too. Is, you know, can Indiana get those positive plays and take away the tackle for loss, which Nebraska does well, and they do take the ball away well as well, but they do give up points and things like that. So, you know what? I'm just going to roll with it, TJ. I think Indiana comes away with a win, regardless of who plays quarterback. Now, if Martinez doesn't play, I think Indiana wins going away. But I think Nebraska is a bigger mess than everybody realizes, a little bit. So I'm going to go Indiana 31, Nebraska 27. That means they kick a field goal. I'm going to go 31-28. I think Indiana's special teams justice is going to come through with a big field goal. And that's if we'll say both backup quarterbacks play, things like that. If we learn that Penix is going to play Saturday, that'll change. But it's just so hard to predict and give keys to the game when you don't know when arguably the two most important players on each side are questionable coming into the game, and they're such talents that it really changes the game on both sides. So, I'm going to go 31-28. I don't think Nebraska kicks a field goal or makes a field goal at 4-for-10. So hopefully my prediction is correct. Hopefully it's not that close. But we'll see. It's a great opportunity for Indiana. It's a 3:30 game. It's a chance to, while it's not the 1990s Nebraska, it's a chance to kind of put a name on the wall, so to speak, or skin on the wall. Nebraska's a name brand, and this win will have some pizzazz with it. If you say, if you look back, you know, 10 years from now, Indiana beat Nebraska at Nebraska, it just means a little bit more. So I think that plays into it too. Indiana has to play with confidence, the confidence of a 5-2 team, and they need to tune out all this outside noise, whether it's Nebraska fans, 93,000 Nebraska fans at the stadium, or the Indiana fans on social media who don't believe in this team yet, who haven't bought in, and who just have been so emotionally abused by the Indiana football program that they're not ready to believe in yet. And I don't blame that for that, but you got to tune that out, play with the confidence of a 5-2 team, and keep, you know, what is it in Major League? Well, we won a game yesterday. We won a game this week. If you win another game, that's a winning streak. Indiana's looking to win 3 Big Ten games in a row and keep that momentum rolling. So we'll see. It's exciting. It's an exciting opportunity for Indiana. I'm excited to go visit Nebraska. It's the last Big Ten school that I need to visit. And it's historic. It's steeped in tradition. There's so many different traditions at the game that I want to see and take in. So you don't want to get blinded by that as players, but I'm not a player, so I could go and enjoy it, but it's something that they need to block out and just get the job done. Closing thoughts, TJ?
No, like you said, it's a big game for a lot of reasons. One, because of the opponent. Two, because of the circumstance. And three, because it's an opportunity in a season that looks like it could turn into to something worth remembering. It's an opportunity to add another victory. And, you know, one, you check off that game bowl eligibility and do so in October, which would be great. But, you know, you get a chance to check off a sixth win and look to your seventh. And that's how Indiana appears to be approaching it. It's how they should approach it. Because I think they have a team capable of doing that. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see the Hoosiers take the field at Nebraska and hopefully go toe-to-toe with them.
Yeah, and it's turning into that season like, hey, you might want to keep an eye on this because it could turn into something special. And,
right.
And we'll see. It could also blow up in their face and things like that. The job is not finished yet. You know, it's not. The mission's not accomplished. You got to get the bowl eligibility. You got to beat Purdue and things like that. But the mission's not accomplished. But the journey, part of the journey is sitting back and enjoying it. Right now it's 5-2, and you should be able to enjoy this. Enjoy the ride a little bit before, you know, it gets into November and things get a little bit more difficult with Michigan and Penn State. But, man, this has a chance to be a special season, and this would be if it's 4-4 Nebraska, it's not a marquee win, but it's a win over Nebraska at Nebraska, something that IU hasn't done since the 70s. Although they haven't played there since the 70s and things like that. So this has a chance to be a real nice bow to clinch a bowl, go home, play a primetime game and against an opponent who's struggled all year and kind of kick off that celebration. So that does it for today's podcast, TJ. Hopefully you have stayed dry, and we'll be back next Monday. Hopefully – you know, in a good mood with, and we could talk about potential bowl destinations.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be terrific. Thanks everybody for listening. And hopefully Saturday's another, like you said, another add on to what's hopefully turns into a winning streak here.
Yeah, that does it for today's podcast. Thanks TJ for joining me. Thank you, the fans, for listening. And you can come back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your Indiana football coverage. and follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. You can follow us on Instagram at Hoosier_Huddle as well. We'll be back next week at 6:30 with a podcast postgame to wrap up Indiana's trip to Nebraska, which kicks off at 3:30 on BTN. Check your local listings if you need to go to BTN, BTN Game Finder, and then we'll preview Indiana's penultimate home game against Northwestern, which was announced as a 7 p.m. kickoff at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, November 2nd. That'll be televised on Fox Sports 1. So thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.